You should pray because Jesus commands you to pray. He says, because God knows everything, you pray like this.
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. And Don is wrapping up his message, Why Do We Pray If God Knows Everything? Last time, Don offered the first two of three good reasons to do so. We pray, first of all, because the Bible commands it. Secondly, we pray because God uses prayer to bless us. Today, Don will give us a compelling third reason. Along the way, Don will also offer some much-needed encouragement to not lose sight of the sufficiency of Christ. We'll also be reminded to be aware of perfectionism in prayer. So with your Bible at the ready, let's join Pastor Don Green now in the Truth Pulpit.
Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says, Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now, in the original language, the description of this has the idea of ongoing asking, ongoing knocking, ongoing seeking, that it becomes a pattern of life to apply yourself to make requests before the throne of heaven, to pray and ask God for things. And that Scripture says God will respond to that. Now, in the context of the Sermon on the Mount, this is not a passage that promises or guarantees that God will give you every physical request that you ever make in prayer. That's not the context. That's not Jesus' point at all. What Jesus is teaching here and in the Sermon on the Mount is that we should be asking God to work in our hearts so that our lives reflect the righteousness that true repentance brings forth. The Sermon on the Mount opens with, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Actually, it opens one verse back saying, Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Starts with an attitude of repentance and then goes and shows what repentance produces in the life of a true disciple. Now, beloved, here's the thing for you. And just in this context of how God uses prayer to bless you, well, as a repentant disciple, as someone who is seeking Christ and desiring righteousness and hungering and thirsting after righteousness, what Jesus is saying here is that you should continually be asking God to enhance your spiritual growth. You should continually be praying and asking God to multiply the evidence of His grace in your heart and in your life. Why would you do that? When God already knows everything, because He answers. Because when we ask for the right things, when we ask according to God's will, He hears us and He responds and He gives us that which we ask for. And so He uses prayer to bless us. Here's the thing. Somehow, in a way that I won't pretend to be able to explain in direct causation to you, somehow, beloved, God, in His sovereignty and in His omniscience, in His full control of all things that ever happen, somehow God gives to us in response to our asking. And in James chapter 4, verse 2, He says, You don't have because you don't ask. And so Scripture gives us this picture that we can't fully get our minds around, that God is fully sovereign and always accomplishes His will, and yet somehow woven into the matrix of the outworking of His sovereignty, it pleases God to manifest His blessing to us in response to our prayers. Think about it this way. Think about farming. You know enough about farming to understand this illustration. A Christian farmer who fully believes in the sovereignty of God would do what? He would plant and he would harvest. Why? Because in God's sovereignty, that is the means that he has appointed to supply for the farmer. The farmer goes and he plants and he maintains the field. And then when it's full grown, he harvests the field. The Christian farmer doesn't say, God is sovereign and therefore I don't have to do anything. Everybody understands that the way the universe works is the farmer gets a crop only when he plants and harvests. That's how God blesses the farmer. Well, in a similar way, beloved, the way that it is with you is this, is that we receive blessing through prayer that we would otherwise miss somehow. Somehow God gives in response to our asking. And in light of that, and the fact that God is far more willing to give than you are willing to ask, that God is generous and abundant with his people, and we are sometimes meager and shriveled in our prayers, we need to understand that God is far more willing to give in response to prayer than you are even to ask in that. Regardless of whatever your experience in prayer has been, regardless of how you evaluate your faithfulness in prayer, step back from your own self-centered perspective on it and look at what Scripture says. God gives in response to prayer. That is motivation for you to pray. That's why you pray. And beloved, we may not understand how human prayer intersects with divine sovereignty, but watch this. Mark this, our overriding trust in God's word, our confidence that Jesus always tells us what is true and God always keeps his promises is more than enough for us to say, I don't have to understand how all of this works. I don't have to know how an internal combustion engine works in order to drive the vehicle. Christ tells me that prayer, God blesses us through prayer, therefore I will pray because I see that laid out in God's word. And don't you see it in your own life? Haven't you seen, Christian friend, haven't you seen that you have seen God, haven't you witnessed God dispense blessing in your life in response to prayer? Haven't you seen that? You've seen that, haven't you? And so, you have experience in your life that affirms what Scripture says on its own. We pray because God uses prayer to bless us. Now, thirdly, there's a final reason here. Why should you pray if God knows everything? Well, you know, point number three, we pray in order to incline ourselves to God, in order to bend ourselves in His direction. And this is a reversal of the way that most people think about prayer. We think that the idea of prayer, somehow we got it into our Arminian minds, that we pray in order to incline God to us, in order to make God favorable to us. Well, look, God can't possibly, if you're a Christian, God cannot possibly be more favorable to you than He already is. He has already manifested Himself to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has reconciled you to His holiness through the shed blood of our Savior on the cross. God is already favorable to you. And therefore, the idea is not that the weakness in the link is not the heart of God toward you. It's your heart toward God that is weak. It is your heart that has remnants of being stubborn in it. It's your heart that is cold and indifferent, not God's. And so how do we change that dynamic? Well, we pray in order to incline ourselves to God. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, if you would. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus here describes a pattern of prayer where you consciously submit to God, you consciously worship Him, you consciously yield to Him, you consciously depend upon Him. Look at what He says there in verse 9. He says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice the starting point that Christ calls you to. Notice the cornerstone of your prayer. Worship our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Another cornerstone in perfect symmetry with that one. God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done. God, here's what I'm doing in prayer. I know that you know everything. There's not a weakness in your knowledge, but there's a weakness in my heart. And so, God, I exercise the spiritual discipline. I exercise the spiritual effort. I make the motion toward you. As James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. God, I am drawing near to you in order to submit. I'm drawing near to you in order to express my dependence upon you. Look at verses 11 through 13. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What's Jesus teaching us here other than to incline our heart to worship, incline it to submission, incline it to physical and spiritual dependence upon Him? That's why you pray. It's because your heart is cold and rocky without it. And so we pray in order to line ourselves up with the will of God, not to line God up with the will of man. It's a completely different perspective. And you can incline yourself to God with a full understanding of His omniscience, and suddenly that starts to make sense. You say, oh, that does make sense. I know my own heart enough to know that I'm often cold, I'm often indifferent, and so I pray in order to incline myself in the direction of God. And that's why we pray. We pray because Jesus commanded us to pray. We pray because God uses prayer to bless us. He mediates blessing through prayer. We pray to incline ourselves to God. Now, with all that said, you're just like I am in this sense, in that you feel inadequate in prayer. And sometimes the very concept of prayer, teaching on prayer, has a tendency to kind of weigh you down because you know you don't measure up, right? You feel that way. You know that your prayers aren't passionate enough and all of that. Well, let me give you something here to shift your perspective and hopefully to encourage your heart, because I'm not here to wag my finger at you and say you need to pray more and why don't you pray better and all of that. That's not the point of this at all. And so you can breathe a sigh of relief. There's not a guilt trip on the other end of this focus. Here's the thing, beloved. Rather than focusing on your inadequacy in prayer, we can assume that. We can take that for granted. That's not where our focus is supposed to be anyway. Remember why you can approach God in the first place. And when you remember this, then the motivation to prayer will take care of itself. That sometimes burdensome, irksome duty that some people, not all, some people fall into and say, oh, all of that can change when, and we can all be strengthened in prayer when we remember this. Christianity 101. Remember this, beloved. You have access to God, not because of the strength and fervency of your own prayers. That's not why God receives you. You know, there came a point in my life where the impossibility of praying enough finally sank into my Arminian, at that time, Arminian head. Think about it. If you prayed 10 hours a day, would that be worthy of Christ? Could you pray enough in order to earn the favor of a holy God in your life? You can't. We don't approach God on the basis of our works. And even if you prayed, if you did nothing but prayed 24 hours a day, it still wouldn't be enough to bridge the gap between you and God because of your sin. That's if you did everything you possibly could, you would still fall short. And so we don't approach God on that basis anyway. Why is it that you have access to God? Why is it that God is willing to receive you? Why does God bend His ear favorably to your prayers? Beloved, it's because you and I approach God in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have access. Christ has already satisfied the Father with His obedience. Christ has already satisfied the demands of God's justice by shedding His blood on the cross. He has removed your sin from your account through His death on the cross. Let the thunder affirm the truth of what I'm saying. Beloved, Christ has pleased God, has He not? Hasn't Christ satisfied the Father completely with His obedience to the point of death, even death on a cross? Wasn't He sinless? Wasn't His sacrifice to the Father perfect? Didn't God accept it and therefore manifest His pleasure with His Son by raising Him from the dead, supernaturally showing, putting the stamp of His approval on Christ as His beloved Son, giving proof to all the world by raising Him from the dead and receiving Him into heaven? Isn't that true? Well, beloved, understand and always, always remember that you are approaching God in and through the righteousness of Christ, in and through the sacrifice of Christ. God accepts Christ. The Father loves His Son and accepts Him. And when we come to God in His Son, clinging to Christ based on the work of Christ on our behalf, when we are clothed in Christ as we approach the throne, beloved, you can know this and take it to the bank. You can know that God is pleased to receive your prayers. Not because of the inherent worth of your own words, but because your brother, your advocate, your intercessor has come and has brought you into Himself and therefore gladly gives you access through Him to your Heavenly Father. And that is the basis upon which God is pleased to receive your prayers. And so, beloved, why do we pray when God already knows everything? What can we say as we think about our own inadequacy in prayer? Beloved, don't focus on your own performance and, you know, and check your watch and, oh, I got my half hour of prayer in today. Don't do that. That puts the focus on you, and that's the wrong place to be. Rest in the finished work of Christ that pleases the Father. Understand that the door of heaven is open, and God is pleased to hear your prayers when you bring them in the name of Christ. That's why you pray. That's how you can pray. It's because Christ has purchased access with His own blood on your behalf, and resting in Him, coming to God in Him, the Father hears your prayers in the name of Christ, received on the basis of Christ, offered in the name of Christ, and our rest in Christ and the promise of God to answer our prayers gives us all the motivation that we need to move into prayer rather than getting stuck on a piece of speculation. Why do we pray if God already knows everything? And stumbling over that, which should never be a stumbling block, go the path that says Christ calls you to this. Go the path that says God promises to bless you. Go the path that says prayer is designed to incline you to God. And in that, let the omniscience of God draw you to believing prayer and watch over time as God manifests his faithfulness to his word to you. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we do gladly come in the name of Christ. And we thank you for the marvelous way that you've condescended to us. That in the incarnation, Christ came to us, as it were. Christ came to earth in order to offer himself a sacrifice for our sins. We thank you that the Holy Spirit came to us with the gospel message. That message that said, repent and believe in Christ for eternal life. And the Spirit came and opened our hearts to hear, opened our hearts and changed our nature so that we would willingly come in response to that message. Oh, Father, thank you that your Spirit and your Word continually point us to Christ, point us to you and your promises to receive your children, that it pleases you as a Father to give good gifts to your children, to give what is good to those who ask him. That pleases you. That makes you glad. It gives glory to you. And so, Father, we have all of the incentive and all the understanding that we need to approach you in prayer. Father, we ask you to increase the work of your Spirit in our hearts, to sanctify us still more in the truth. Father, to work in our corporate body a deeper, greater, broader unity with one another. To help us, Father, that we might walk in a manner that is worthy of Christ, to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Father, to ask you for that which would please you, to order our steps and to arrange and orchestrate your providence in such a way that each one of us would most certainly enter into heaven at the end of our earthly lives in a safe and a wondrous manner, even as the Apostle Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that you would deliver him safely into your kingdom. Father, we ask not so much for things of earthly, temporal nature, although we ask you to supply our daily bread for sure. Father, we ask you for the rich blessings of a sanctified heart, of a purified mind, of forgiveness of our sins, and that you would order our steps in such a way that you would not lead us into temptation, but that you would deliver us decisively from evil, Father, and help us to walk through this wicked world in a way that pleases you, where we're conscious of your favor and we know that your goodness is upon us. Father, those are the things that we ask for. Those are the things that we need. We realize that you already know all of that. You know that we need these things more than we know that we need them. But Father, we come and pray because your word bids us to, your word commands us to, and you said that you would give if we asked. Oh God, we ask and we trust that your answers will be evident, they'll be obvious. And that as the answers come, it will strengthen us to pray still more. Father, as we begin to see answers to prayer in tangible ways, in seeing people converted under the sound of our pulpit, under the ministry of the members of this church, and people coming to Christ, Father, as we see that begin to happen, and we pray, Father, that it would happen soon. Father, in response to your word, we come and we ask. And we trust that what we see henceforth will be a manifestation of your promise, that to those who ask, they receive. To those who seek, they find. To those who knock, the door is opened to them. May it be ever thus for those of us who know Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We pray because Jesus prayed and commanded us to do the same. We pray because God uses prayer to bless us, and we pray to incline ourselves to God rather than the other way around. Great reminders from Pastor Don Green today on the Truth Pulpit, and we hope you'll join us each weekday here. as Don opens up the Word of God to edify and encourage. And right now, Don is back in studio with some closing thoughts.
Friend, one of the things that I'm always mindful of when I'm here in studio is I'm mindful that there are people out in the audience that are like I used to be, thinking that they were Christians but not really having the life of God in their soul. You've perhaps read the Bible or gone to church, but you've never really turned your life to Christ in repentance and saving faith. I was like that. I know what it's like to be self-deceived. I just encourage you, if you've just viewed Christianity as something kind of casual and not all that important, my friend, examine yourself. See if you're truly born again, and let that work of God in your heart lead you to truth, lead you to the Scriptures, so that you would enter into the profound life that belongs only to those who are true Christians.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our ministry. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.